Traveling the Vortex.
We've joined the Doctor as he travels the Vortex and arrive at episode 583. I'm Keith.
I'm Sean.
I'm Glenn.
What's up?
How are you guys?
That was an old reference.
I'm full of them. Come back next week. You'll hear a new one.
All right. Well, let's talk about our review. We are on our second in a series of Sontarans versus Rutons. This is 1.2, The Children of the Future.
The tale we have to tell is quite an extraordinary one.
From Big Finish Productions, Doctor Who, Sontarans versus Rutons, The Children of the Future.
There's much to prepare for tonight.
So, what's all this about?
Remember those missing scientists back when we first met?
Halt! This area is off limits.
They were brought to a castle not far from here, captured by Lynx, the Sontaran.
So you think that's where the Doctor's headed? Returning to the scene of the crime, so to speak.
I don't want either of you knowing too much about Earth's future. But what you need to know is that these people are survivors from a Sontaran invasion of Earth.
Maybe this is future history.
The Cascade Project.
A wound in reality.
It was carnage.
Yet you admit there's something going on with the Doctor. Something odd.
If these Rutons can take any form.
Cunning shapeshifters.
Well, Sarah, just what are we going to do with you?
Big Finish, for the love of stories.
The war between the Sontarans and the Rutons have been going on for a millennia, and is likely to continue for a millennia more. The Brigadier is used to the Doctor acting strangely, but this time there's something decidedly different about the whole affair. As he looks into the Time Lord's odd activities outside UNIT, there's a mystery that'll take Lethbridge Stewart to a sight very familiar to Sarah Jane Smith. Can the Brigadier trust his old friend? Who are his mysterious new allies? And is the future of humanity really at stake? A Sontaran threat could spell the end for their long-standing friendship and the entire planet.
Bum, bum, bum.
It's certainly
I
a...
I like this one.
Go ahead, Sean.
I liked this one. Go ahead. It's certainly
a Sontaran versus Ruton story, minus the Sontarans, but I enjoyed it as well. I thought
it's a Ruton story.
Yeah, it's totally a Ruton story. I enjoyed it too. When it was first being implied that the Doctor was being secretive and doing things behind Sarah Jane and the Brigadier's back. And going on, I had this little in the back of my mind, this nagging, the Doctor doesn't do that. The Doctor wouldn't do that to his friends. And then I just had this sudden 180 degree. Wait a minute. I'm listening to the third Doctor here. Of course he would do this. This is so in character with the third Doctor. And once I got over that hump of, wait a minute, this is in character. I thoroughly enjoyed the entire thing. I love the idea that the Brigadier and Sarah Jane both automatically are onto him. Something's wrong. He's acting weird. He's acting weird around us. This is very out of character for the Doctor. So we're going to need to figure out what's happening. And both of them at the same, I mean, not even together at the same time, just separately come to these conclusions and then ultimately end up coming together in order to go try to figure out what's happening, to go suss out this mystery. And I thought that was so cool that they both had come to that conclusion separately before they came together and kind of collaborated on the fact that they were both suspecting there was something wrong. I really had a good time with the Brigadier and Sarah Jane doing their own sort of thing for a while without the Doctor, which I thought was kind of cool because you don't get a lot of that one-on-one interaction between those two in a lot of the television series. So it was kind of nice for them to have some time together. They still kind of, you know, they go at loggerheads at times with techniques and how they're going to do things or how they should do things. But then again, they sort of work really well together, especially when they get to the gas station, I guess it was, and they've sort of devised their plan on how they're going to do this, and they kind of get their ducks in a row in how they're going to infiltrate this base. And I thought that was really cool. I had a lot of fun with that. I quite honestly was very much fell for the this is a future group from this is a group from the future that has come back and something has happened in the future. Was not surprised that the doctor had already figured it out and was there to kind of make sure things went right. So he was playing into pretending to be helping them. So I that was quite right. But I really did kind of fall for it at first, thinking, oh, these guys are somehow displaced in time and something is going to happen in the future. And this is, you know, that's why the doctor's here, because he has to keep it from happening. And so I wholeheartedly fell for that. So kudos to them for that. And
see, I didn't I didn't fall for. I fell for, oh, the doctor is not really the doctor. He's actually,
yeah, rooted. I fell for that.
That
too.
I fell for too. Hook, line, and sinker. But knowing that this was a Sontarans versus Rutans story, I had in the back of my mind of, I bet these guys are Rutans.
Well, you know, and we already had Rutans pretending to be somebody else in the first story. So,
right.
Yeah, I fell for that ruse as well. It was like, is the doctor acting weird? I mean, weirder than normal? Yeah, yeah, he is. Okay, let's go. Hey, there's Rutans. Aha! You know, I was right on that one from the get-go, and then, oh.
Well, they did such a good job laying that groundwork, because not only was he acting weird, but he was asking for parts and material for things he'd already asked for. Past, mm-hmm. Like he didn't actually remember that his TARDIS was working. So they laid such good groundwork that it's easy to buy into it.
Yeah,
they did a fantastic job with the misdirection there. And everything you said, Glenn, I loved the Brig and Sarah Jane together. I love their different methods of investigating and how Sarah Jane is sneak, 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 and the Brigadier's, I've rented a car. I'm going to follow him. it's so in character for both of those characters. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't even mind that the Third Doctor was not present for the first half, which mm-hmm. normally would be something I would probably complain about. But then when he does show up and they kind of spin this yarn, I like Keith, you know, I was like, eh. Maybe, but okay, I'll buy into it. Why not? And then, oh, no, that's not what we're doing. But I really enjoyed the infiltration of the castle. And again, done in such a way that Sarah is being sneaky and the Brigadier is going, I'm going to go to blow this thing up. I'm going to stop the time tunnel from working. And then the doctor reveals that he knows that this is the deal and what's going on. And my first thought is, oh God, he's going to do something wrong. Go stop him quickly. And I really liked that they called back to,
all of it takes place centered around the Time Warrior location.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was cool too. But the discussion when Sarah's trying to be like, oh, your oldest friend, and he's like, oh, we fight all the time. After all, he did this, and referenced the
the Silurians. Doctor, yeah, calling him out on killing the Silurians as a reason why he wouldn't involve the Brigadier. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a great argument and a great moment, but at the same time, because this is a Sarah Jane story, I feel like the Doctor and the Brigadier have come so far already in their time together that it was a little bit more like a excuse to try to get rid of him more than a valid argument.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Oh, I'm sure it probably was, but it was still nice to have that callback, because if it's a ruse, the Doctor's using it in such a way that he knows the Brigadier still feels or should feel bad about it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not a ruse, the Doctor's still salty about it. And I kind of like that we, you know, they're the best of friends. but you still piss me off sometimes. You know, I enjoy that element to it, that could be the way it went. So.
It took me a second listen to realize what the Rutans' plans were the whole time. I didn't feel like I caught it the first time. And I still don't really understand what the Doctor's plan would have been to get rid of them had the Brigadier and Sarah Jane not gotten in the way. Because had the Brigadier not gotten through the time trouble and everyone had to go after him, I don't know why they would have gotten everybody else to go back into it in the first place. Mm-hmm. So those are two parts of it that I felt weren't as well thought out as it could have been. Now, of course, some of that could be trying to tie back into the bigger story of what they're trying to do here, because obviously they laid some groundwork of, well, the time tunnel is frayed, and that's why you didn't pass them when you came back through, and potentially putting them back in different points.
That's the way I took it, is that, you know, this is going to be brought up later, but...
Right.
Yeah. And that's what I originally thought of, oh, we're going to reveal their plan later, but I don't think their plan was anything more than just setting up a base. They happened to find their way into this situation and said, oh, well, let's set up a base here to fight the Santarans. And I really think that was their motivation more than anything else.
And very easily could be.
I'll be pleasantly surprised if they call back to it and justify it later, but I don't think that's going to be the case. And I also, but I did really like Stanley. I thought the Brig and him had a nice relationship that kind of developed when they went back to that gas station, and the fact that they forgot he was there when they were revealing, oh, wait, these aren't actual people from the future. They're aliens in disguise. And he's just like, what now? He played into that being human very well.
Right.
And then the turnaround to reveal that he's actually a Rutan but wants to stay and defect. I thought, I really liked all that. Mm. And that kind of gave the Brig also a redemption arc from the Silurians, where an alien can live with us and be okay.
And that was a wonderful bit of misdirection there as well, because after, you know, the preceding bits where we're thinking that the Doctor is a Rutan, never considered Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Never looked at Stanley, and then, oh yeah, I'm a Rutan. What?
I sort of hope that since Stanley stayed behind, that he eventually could hook up with the Rutan that befriended Anne Travers in the Lethbridge Stewart books. It'd be kind of cool to have them, you know, get together in a story and bring that character into the fold. Big Finish. Might be kind of fun.
That would be cool.
Can't remember the character's name. It was the character from Beast of Fang Rock, and I think she shows back up again as a woman in was it Showstoppers? I think.
I think there's been a couple of instances.
Yeah, Showstoppers is one I could remember. I think there was another one, but I couldn't remember where the other was.
I know we've talked before about how great Tim Treloar and, what's-his-face does for the Third Doctor and Brigadier, but I really feel like Sadie Miller has come into her own as Sarah Jane Smith in this role now.
Yeah, I agree.
There's been a couple, I think this is at least for me, I think the fourth story I've listened to with her as Sarah Jane, because I listened to those Lost stories, and then there was one more, The Past Lives, that we listened to. So I guess this is my fifth one. And this one, I thought she sounded the most like Sarah Jane she's sounded so far. Mm-hmm. She did such a good job in the role.
Yeah.
I agree. Her voice work in this one was stellar. And yeah. I don't know, maybe it's because she's with the Brig through most of it. And that really added to that sense of time and place for when this episode is set, that it was very easy to hear Elizabeth Sladen in the character. I don't know, but yeah, I agree. I think this is her strongest performance so far. that we've listened to.
And
the other two are obviously great.
I'll echo that a bit. Yeah. I think she was very strong as Sarah Jane in that Once and Future story that we heard. But yeah, I remember you guys thinking that she didn't so much. So I had already bought into her Sarah Jane. And that was the first one. I thought
it in Once and Future more than the Lost stories. Mm.
Yeah, this was the first. And Once and Future was the first one that I'd heard her as Sarah Jane. It's good stuff. I mean, nothing really bad that I can say.
I said the other thing that I really, really liked about this was the ending. I liked that we had some tense moments and some alien incursion, and we blew some stuff up, but didn't blow up everything. And then we get the Star Trek joke where, you know, it's a freeze frame and everybody's laughing on the bridge. We kind of get that moment where the Doctor reveals, oh, yes, we're going to the Brigadier's birthday party. And it's so
which
like
was set up earlier field, in this but, episode too,
which was one of the things that he was being suspicious about that they were suspicious of him for, and he actually was doing it.
I really liked the way that tied it together and was like, ta-da. He doesn't know, but. There were so many good little moments. Even the Brigadier, when they were driving up there, he's like, nice little town. Good looking pub.
Just... And that's where they have the birthday party at later, naturally. So.
Anything else?
This was more along the lines of how I would have expected a Rutan incursion to happen. Less so in the first story, but this one's ka-ching, yeah, right up there.
Yeah, but the MO isn't much different, and in fact, this one sort of implies that this happened for the Rutans prior to this event happens before what happens in the Eighth Doctor audio we just listened to. I think it's done better here for certain. But I think it's kind of shades of the
Maybe
same thing. It's the Rutans sort of using a cover because they're shapeshifters and using Earth for, you know, their means. And they're sort of just echoes of the same thing. They're just a little more successful of laying their brood in the previous one.
It makes you wonder, maybe, you know, were some of this subset that were traveling back through the time tunnel, did they wind up getting diverted to Ireland?
Well, that's what I kind of wondered, if that's going to be revealed later, that we kind of come full circle on that.
It wouldn't be a big finish Spock set without a little bit of hanky-panky timey-wimey.
Hanky-panky timey-wimey. That doesn't sound good.
I don't think there was hanky-panky.
I don't think there was any hanky-panky going on.
How about timey-wimey hanky-panky?
Yeah. I don't think that works either. All right, Sean, what do we got coming up on the schedule?
Well, coming up on the schedule, next up, we're going to have an adversary archive on the Axos with big Finnish audio drama, The Feast of Axos, and a Doctor Who magazine comic, The Golden Ones. And we all talked that we may independently review Claws of Axos, just because it's been a while. And then we come back to the Sontarans and the Rutans in story number 3 of this box set, Born to Die, which definitely sounds like a Sontaran title. I'm going to go out on a limb and predict that. And then another companion archive, this time Evelyn Smythe takes the spotlight as we look at Industrial Revolution, which is a big Finnish audio. And then Mission Improbable, which is a big Finnish audiobook from one of their short trips ranges. The subscriber short trip, as a matter of fact. So if you're not a big Finnish subscriber, you may not have got that one. Do you want me to keep going?
No, you're good. And you can find us at our website. And you can find us at our website, travelingthevortex.com. If you get any value out of this podcast, why not consider putting some value back into it? You can do that by clicking on that Patreon link and support us there. When you become a patron of the podcast, you unlock more audios and specials from us. Also, please consider giving us a 5-star review wherever you subscribe to this podcast. And make sure you join in the conversation on our listeners forum on Facebook. There you can engage with listeners and share your thoughts and insights with them and us. I also want to give a shout out to, we don't say it very often enough, but make sure you're checking out our sister podcast, the Five-ish Fangirls. We recently just did another Oscar competition with them. And I think, Sean, you want to reveal the results?
Well, we lost.
Yes, we lost.
Again.
In a nutshell.
No, that's not true. Not again. Well, yeah, yes, again.
Last time we tied.
But the last time we tied, but we did lose the first time too. So we haven't had a win in our column.
We've had 2 losses and a tie. So we are 0-2-1. Which is a little frustrating for the self-professed movie geeks. Mm-hmm. Although I personally did quite well. You guys should listen to me more often.
Yeah. You got what, 20 out of that? 20 out of the 26?
I got 20 out of 23.
23, right. Yeah.
And next year will be harder because it'll be 24. But
right. They're adding the category. So if you're a patron subscriber, we're going to be reviewing the movie Sphere. That was what was chosen for us as the bad film that we have to watch and review. So I think that's got Dustin Hoffman and Samuel L. Jackson and Sharon Stone, I think, is the other.
I think Sharon Stone, yeah.
Liv Schreiber, too.
Oh, yeah, Liv Schreiber. That's an early Liv Schreiber film for him. So we'll be reviewing that. You can hear that exclusively over on our Patreon. Last year's review, Problem Child 2, will be released on the main feeds. So if you subscribe to us just on our normal feeds, that will be coming available to you soon. So as soon as we do our next one, that one becomes available. It's kind of how we've been doing it the year before we released the home team to widespread. So if you're a patron, you get to hear our review of Sphere early. If you're not a patron subscriber, then you'll have to wait a year till our next competition. So.
And I just want the five-ish ladies and their team to know that, next year. We're coming. We're coming on strong. We're gonna do the thing.
We just cue up last year's audio when we said the same thing. Anything else before we close this podcast? If not, until next time, I'm Glenn.
I'm Sean.
I'm Keith.
Cheers.
Good night, everybody.
Be seeing you.
Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to Traveling the Vortex. Doctor Who and all of its associated programs are owned and trademarked by the BBC. No infringement is intended or implied.
Direction point! Direction point!
A Doctor Who podcast network.